Come back to our discussion on MIPS architecture. Instruction set architecture. And I was mentioning that I was mentioning about how the instructions are fetched and executed, and I was mentioning about the registers in MIPS. And these registers include 32 so-called general purpose registers, and then you have a register called high and a register called low for multiplication and division, and you have your program counter, which is a register, and then you have separate floating point ones. These are all 32-bit registers. Now notice that MIPS here uses 32-bit data and uses 32-bit addresses. And as I had mentioned, all instructions are are 32-bit instructions, one-word instructions. And we were looking at instruction formats. And I had mentioned about the R type, the I type, and G type of instruction formats. And we had looked at the addressing modes. And I had mentioned about immediate addressing, register addressing, base addressing, which is how we do load and store, and we have PC relative addressing, which we use for branching, and then we have something called pseudo direct addressing, which we use for jumping. Did we talk about that?
No.
Okay. Did we talk about PC relative addressing? I guess we did. So among others, we talked about PC relative. And then let's talk about pseudo direct addressing. Pseudo direct means that it is somewhat like direct addressing, but it's not quite direct addressing. And this is what we use for jumps. And for jump instructions, the instructions look like this. For jumps. You have basically 26 bits to specify the target address, and you have 6 bits. Bits 26 to 31 to specify the operation code. So operation code will say jump, And this will say jump to here. Oh, I should have said target. Now, as I said, all addresses are 32-bit addresses. And here you have 26 bits, 0 to 25. So from where are we going to get the rest of the bits? And answer is that we are going to get some of the bits from the program counter. And this would be the address. Now there are some more details there that we will talk about when we will look at the jump instruction. So basically what we do is take some of the most significant bits from the program counter itself. That limits how far we can jump, but usually it gives us a fairly large range within which we can jump. But we will come back to this when we will look at it in some more detail. Now let me mention about assembly language versus machine language instructions. I guess you know about that already from about this already from other class that you had taken. So basically there is an assembly language, there is a MIPS assembly language with its syntax, and I have given you an example something like this, and you give the names of the registers, and by convention this would be the destination, and here you would put some comment. So that is the general form of an assembly language instruction. And in binary, you of course have the whole thing in binary, and as I had mentioned before, you have, for example, if this is assembled, then your opcode is these 6 bits. This is the opcode, and you have the function. Function part, whenever it is applicable, is actually an extension of the operation code, and in this case would be 100 and 3 zeros. And in this case, RS is register 1, so here is your RS, and which is register 1, and of course you have to use 5 bits. Similarly, you will get a value RT. This is actually the same thing as what we had seen earlier, so we don't have to fill this in. But the basic idea is that RD is the destination, and 00000, there's a field called shift amount, which is of no consequence for this particular instruction. So if you have now, many times we will try to specify something in a higher level language. Actually, most of the programs you will write, they are going to be in assembly language. However, we will use a high level language. I should mention that assembly language is basically the same thing as machine language, except that assembly language uses a symbolic form. So rather than saying 00 whatever, we say air, which is much more convenient for us to write. We will often use a high level language, specifically C, to specify a program segment. A lot of times before we will write the actual assembly language code. So for example, let's say here's a program that we want to implement. And then here is a program segment, in this case just a single instruction that we want to implement. So this is what we want to do in assembly language. And so here we have four variables. Now, let us assume that these variables are things that we access very frequently, and things that we want to access very frequently, they should be in the registers, because registers can be accessed much faster than the memory locations. So let us assume that these are in some specific registers. Let's assume our variable A happens to be in register 4, variable B happens to be in register 5, variable C is in register 6, variable D is in register 7. That is where they happen to be when we come to this instruction. And in that case, this is how we will write our program. Okay, we want to first do a should we start from this end or this end? Doesn't matter, right? Okay, let's do it from here. A minus B. So how do we do A minus B? We need to do a subtraction. This is one of the instructions that we will call computational instructions. We are going to look at a complete set of them. But let's look at this illustration first. And we are going to put the result in some other register for a while. And we are going to subtract contents of register 5 from contents of register 4. And we will put the result in register 10. So that will do. That will do A minus B. Now we can do similarly C minus D. And then all we need to do is to add the two things. Take this and add. And we are assuming that X we are going to put in register 12. Now this illustrates the typical process we will use for writing assembly language programs. When we are going to use registers, we will first figure out how we are going to use the registers and keep that in mind. And once we have done that, then we will write our program. Frequently used things, we want to keep them in the registers. Now this is an assembly language program segment, and you can convert this assembly language program segment into a binary, and your binary program will look somewhat like this. Let's convert this into binary. this assembly and now to convert programming to binary, as you know, you need to use an assembler. And in case of MIPS, we have a MIPS simulator. You are going to use a MIPS simulator, which is called SPIM. And it comes with different versions. So there's a PC version, there's a Unix version, I think there is a Mac version also, but if I remember correctly, somebody was mentioning that they had some difficulty with some aspect of it. Any of you who like to use Mac? Oh, that makes things easier. We just go with the PC world. So we have no rebels in the class. There are some people who stick with, we have some faculty members, some of my colleagues. They don't want to touch PCs. They don't like Microsoft. But anyway, personal thing. So there are PC versions there, and of course on the disk, you must have received the program. So you can convert that into binary. So for example, if you want to, okay, let's assemble this subtract instruction just as an illustration. And the process is that you take out your reference card. I wonder if I should ask you to memorize this card.
Definitely.
Anyone wants to memorize this card? No? Okay. Okay, in that case, I guess I will not require you to memorize this card. I haven't memorized it yet myself. So, but given appropriate tables like this, you should be able to read the tables. So for example, for a subtract instruction, we should know that subtract is an R-type instruction. And for a subtract, okay, let me assemble just one instruction there. Others are basically similar. Your opcode for a subtract happens to be, okay, we'll look up subtract here, and okay, there's subtract, and it says 0/22 hex. So 0 in 6 bits. That's the operation code. And here is the function part, which is that 6 bits too? Yeah, it is. So the function part is, for subtract, is 22 hexadecimal. So 2 hexadecimal and 2. So, I think, is it this year? I think that should be the right thing. Or have I done some mistake here?
It's 22.
She's 22 hexadecimal.
Number 4. 22 is 16.
I'm sorry, did I say 22 hexadecimal?
Yeah.
I should have said 22 hexadecimal. I really meant 22 hexadecimal. Yeah, I should make sure when I read hexadecimal numbers correctly, so 22 hexadecimal. Okay, is that what we have here? 22 hexadecimal. So this is 2, so that should be correct. I'm just wondering because it doesn't match with my notes here. Oh. But I think this card has some typos here.
I have something here. Let me check. So we are looking at subtract. SUV. Okay. I guess I am doing it right. So, yeah. That is correct. So this card is correct.
I guess my notes where I had a mistake. So here you have, now this is the destination. And if you look into this card here, destination is register RD, and RD comes after, and then there is a shift amount field. And here is RD, and destination is register 10. And the register 10 happens to be 10 in 5 bits, so that is 8 plus 2, so 8, 4, 2, five bits. Okay, that should be 10, I think. Does it look correct? Okay, so that's RD, and then RS and RT. The first number is RS, and looking at this table here, yeah, that's correct. RS is 4, so that is using 5 bits. So 4 is 0, this is 4, 8 and 16, and RT is 5. Shift amount, and there we have how many bits we have. So there we have 6 to 10, those 5 bits. Okay, so that is the subtract instruction. Interesting thing to note is that for these arithmetic instructions, you need to look up the right operation code and you need to look up the right function code. So you can assemble a program. Assembling these instructions is actually quite straightforward. When you have branches, then you need some careful counting. And I will mention why you need to do careful counting. Okay, let me mention about the register conventions.